This is July the 10th, 2019. And this is the July meeting of the Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board. I'd like to open it up right now to any public comments or input.
I just wanted to acknowledge that C-Tran was voted the National Award for Best Transit System in the Nation, and I thought that was pretty incredible.
That was a surprise to most, 99% or more of the staff. And it's really rewarding to know that our executive director, Sean Donaghy, acknowledged the fact that the reason why we were selected for that was because of staff. That wasn't, you know, his work, but rather staff's work. And that's gratifying as a staff member. I can tell you it's long overdue. I've been telling that to my C-Van drivers for coming on 2 decades now. And just finally, that's how long it takes to get information to the East Coast. Never realized that. But thank you very much. We're very proud of the contributions we're making to Clark County and to the city of Vancouver, Gans, Washougal. And is this being recorded? My boss, Sean Donaghy, would like to. No, I'm just teasing, but thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We appreciate the excellent service.
And any other comments? Yes, Trudy.
Okay, so the DUAB, they're interested in hosting an event at Higgins in October. So Mary, Ted, and I met with the owner of Higgins, Dan, and his employee, Vivian. And so we have a possible date of October 16th or October 17th. So I'm going to get in contact with Vivian and see if there's a between the 16th and 17th. Mary suggested to ask her if there's a date that where it would bring in more people. I have some other additional questions for her. They did mention that their programmer, he watches tons, like 400 something movies in a year is what he said. So, and that could be exaggeration or that could be the truth, I'm not sure. I'm gonna get into contact with Vivian and remind her to see if the programmer can get a hold of us and give us some suggestions on possible movies that we could, a movie that we could show that night. We talked about cost.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a cost to the public. We will cover the rent for the venue.
Oh, program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we don't know what the movie would cost. They would have to research that. It was less than what I expected because he was talking about what a Hollywood movie runs, and it's a lot less than what I expected.
And it came from Bulgaria.
Well, Ted has the French one if you really want to.
We're thinking the starting time for the movie would be around 6 p.m. The seating there is about 330 seats available. And there's some ideas that we have on how to get the word out, such as like an October event, we could have the ushers hand out flyers. Because the October event, I think it's the 5th or the 6th, the 3rd?
2nd.
2nd, October 2nd. So then we can hand out flyers for the upcoming event that could be on the 16th or the 7th. Mike, we spoke with Mike. He suggested he could probably shoot a video with someone standing in front of Higgins talking about the event and welcoming individuals to come and attend the event. Mm-hmm. We could also put the video, if Mike shoots the video, we could put it on the Clark County Facebook, the DCSDV webpage, and it can also run something in the Columbian. And we are looking for movie ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, would there be any cost to the citizens coming to view it?
We're thinking if there'd be a free unit.
I suppose we could ask them to bring a canned food or something like that.
A donation.
Yeah, a donation for something. I mean, that's a decision y'all need to make.
Well, that brings to an opportunity that those of us that are here, we can discuss the idea of showing a movie. The basic purpose or objective is greater awareness and understanding of people with disabilities. But I'd be interested in hearing your opinions about hosting an event like this. Like you said, Trudy, it's going to be a couple of weeks after our October 2nd employer event, but is there any ideas or concerns or suggestions that we can discuss right now to help the board come to a decision whether or not this is something we should pursue?
I think that because it's in the National Disability Employment Awareness Month, that it would be nice for it to have a focus on employment. We could always do something that is disability awareness, but I think the month that it being employment focused, or at least having that somewhat addressed in there, would be good.
And October is actually multiple disability issue month. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that
Thank
wrong,
you.
But it cover it's the month of recognition for multiple different developmental disability issues. So I think it's a phenomenal opportunity for the board to do that.
Okay.
We have done stuff like that as a community in the past, and it's always been very well received by the community, but it's probably been 7, 8, 9 years since we've done anything.
Can you describe what you did?
We did the one from the lady that was in the RHC in
Where's Molly? That wasn't well attended, was it, or was it? I don't remember.
No, it was pretty well attended. There was over 200 people there.
Really?
It was at the regular Regal Cinemas.
Oh, that was a different one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking of the one that the ARC did at Kiggins that
maybe was not as well attended.
But that's great.
At Regal
okay.
That
right.
we did that was really well attended.
Oh, good. Okay.
Where's Molly?
Mm-hmm. I think was the name. What was that?
Where's
the
Molly?
Where's Molly?
We might have done a couple different ones.
But Where's Molly is from the young woman who had been in Fairview.
And I think that's
her
the one we did at Regal Cinemas.
He couldn't find her
right.
when he was a little boy, and then learned as he grew up where she was.
And what made it good?
I thought it was a wonderful opportunity for the DB community within our county to come together. We actually don't have a lot of those. We have a lot of little things that go on, you know, that's focused on employment or focused on education or focused on one thing, but to have everybody come together as a whole, there's not a lot of opportunity for that.
Can I ask a sensitive question?
Yes.
Would I walk away from this movie depressed?
I think it depends on what the movie is. We probably don't want to do Where's Molly again.
Okay.
Although I thought it ended on an up note.
Mm-hmm.
One of my concerns is, and it's just my personality, I prefer laughter over tears. So if we could somehow make a point. But that's just my opinion. It's not necessarily.
Well, it would be great if it could be not only a good story, but something about employment in there.
Uh-huh.
It would be really nice.
And something that really shows people's abilities and their mm-hmm. skill sets. I think that's always so important that we not show people as the most vulnerable, but we show people in their capacity and their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
especially because of the variety of things, it would open people's minds to think, oh, you know, we might be able to move someone in a capacity, you know, working.
Exactly. We were talking about this earlier today as well with the videos that Mike Ferry has done. It would be cool if we were able to use those as like the trailers.
Oh, cool.
Because you know how you show up and then you have to sit through like 15 minutes of trailers. Why not have it be related to work?
That's wonderful.
That's a good point. From your perspectives, what would be the optimal length of time?
We're thinking around an hour, maybe an hour and a half, because we also are considering having the question and answer portion of it after the movie.
Or that would be total time.
Okay, so 90 minutes including the discussion, or 90 minutes with either one, two, or three videos, or 90 minutes of one movie and a discussion afterwards?
I think we could answer that better once we kind of rein in which movie we're going to show.
Agreed.
We would try and keep it definitely maybe an hour, hour and a half, so it's not a 2 hour long movie. That's kind of 2 hours is long after a long day.
Mm-hmm. I also think we need to make sure that, we just check on bus schedules for our adults who experience disabilities to make sure that the paratransit and the bus schedules are running accordingly so that whatever we schedule, there's plenty of opportunity for individuals to get to.
Okay, this is what the Kiggins man said, that he recommended starting at 6 and then being done by at 8. So that's within the transit thing.
That's within the CDN transit window for this generalized area.
What time does it end?
Well, the latest pickup in the urban area is approximately 9 o'clock.
It'd be great to invite or have people that are working invite their employers to come.
And October the 17th is a already scheduled building independence group, so that would be a wonderful opportunity for the group to come and participate.
So we should stay up with the 16th and
17th. No, do it on the 17th.
Do it on the 17th, and the building independence group can meet there and go there and be leaders in that environment.
Okay. Got it.
October 17th, is that correct?
I guess so. See what happens when you open it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been talking way too much.
And if we can have all the agencies that have people that are working to invite people from their businesses.
I'm also relying a little bit on, you know, the agencies and Helen and others, Darla, if you know a movie or if I think it needs to be in English, though, as much as it looked like the 8th day is a wonderful movie, I'm not sure a foreign film, I'm not sure we can.
Almost too many things.
It's too much, for some people to be able to translate or see it fast enough to read it.
And also, I think it would be important as a nod to the hearing impaired community that everything is closed captioned.
We'll check on that.
I also think it would be really nice if we could target younger families.
Yes.
So that they see it as a future and a trajectory point to reach for.
That will give them hope.
I would say send something to the schools so that they could send it out.
Yeah. And the three of the ICC families.
So am I hearing that from your all points of view, that the movie idea is something we should go to the next level as far as researching and the board would then decide whether or not this is something to do. Sounds like there's a degree of support for it. Am I hearing that?
And Trudy says, well, is willing to look at movies.
I said, cool hand Luke, but nobody wants that.
I will reach out across the state and compile a list of potential movies for people to look at.
I'm of the opinion, and maybe it's because I have a short attention span, but I would rather do two movies that are shorter in duration and maybe sandwiched in between a little bit of a discussion rather than an hour and a half long movie, because I get bored.
So we're almost looking at documentaries.
And then shorter.
And they're short. I mean, there could be short films too. Oh, yeah. That could be an option, right?
Yeah, that's short again. Format. Please don't misunderstand. This is just one guy's opinion. You know, if the group, which includes you now, you got sucked into this, so I don't think you're not off the hook. Would have something that is, you know, Gone with the Wind style. Okay. Even though Mr. Havilland just passed away. Any other comments regarding the potential movie idea?
Because Kristen, Trish, and I, our schedules in the next month are just, including being gone, some of us, go through Trudy. And do you have cards, Trudy? Maybe get one for Helen and Katrina.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. All right. So we're starting.
We're on our way.
We're on our way. And, maybe a road trip.
Where to?
Well, no, I'm talking figuratively. Oh. A movie. Oh. You know. National Lampoon, or something like that. Or my favorite, Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. If you haven't seen it, you really have a warped childhood. And you emphasize that on the recording. Okay. Darla, could you fill us in about the housing conference?
I would love to. We were so honored to be able to host the housing conference, the Southwest Washington Affordable Housing Conference for Individuals with Disabilities on May 13th at the Heathman. We had just under 200 individuals show up and participate in that conference. We had, I didn't count, but I want to say there was probably 25 to 30-ish presenters. The purpose of the conference was really to find out what's currently happening so we could build a common knowledge base and then go into a creative mode of what can we create from here that might be new and exciting. I probably should have announced that at the first of the conference. Live and learn. But it really was phenomenal. Our keynote speaker, George Braddock, is from Oregon. And while he's used to working in a different model, if you take the model of what he was talking about away, a lot of the concepts were very useful and very productive in ways that we can move forward in looking at how do we help, how a structured environment can help somebody be as independent as possible. We actually, Mona Furstenel was phenomenal. I just want to publicly say thank you to Mona. She led our World Cafe questions at the end of the conference to our follow-up on our next steps and what are we going to do to move forward from here. And I will forward this out, but you can see we have pages of comments and pages of people who have stepped up to say they're interested and they're willing to do next steps on things. So we're very excited. So from here, this report was finished up. It was sent out to the community and to all the participants. We're going to take this and we're going to start then hosting additional meetings. It's a little too bad that it all kind of rolled right into summer, because I really kind of think we probably need to wait till September to start having meetings again. But in September, then we'll start having some planning meetings to see, okay, what can we come up with as a community? Knowing that the residential models that we have, while they work beautifully for some individuals, an individual who's born in 2019 with a developmental disability has a very different life trajectory than somebody that was born in 1969 with a developmental disability. And so making sure that we stay, keep the residential options, and I say that not just as a residential model through DDA, but any kind of a living situation, keep that moving forward, just as we do supported employment or community activities or anything else. And so I'm very excited. You know, some people walked away kind of frustrated because they wanted to come and get answers and wanted to walk away with a place for their individual to live. And that really just wasn't the purpose of the conference. It was really, let's come together as brainstorming and let's figure this out and create some new stuff and move forward. And I think that, personally, I feel like our state is kind of almost getting primed to start some new creative pilot projects around residential. And this really is kind of like priming that pump as far as ideas and concepts on what those might look like. So I'm excited to see what happens. It takes a long time when you're trying to do something like this. And when you're a parent of adults that need a home yesterday, that can be really frustrating. But I think even if it's frustrating, I think knowing the reality of what is helps people make realistic plans on what could be and what we might do in the future and how do we do that. So I thank you guys very much for your support in making sure that this happened. And I will email this out. Are there any specific questions?
Well, we had a meeting with the housing authority since
yes.
then, and there's some, we have to give them back some information.
So one of the things that came out of the conference was that some of the policies that are currently in place were frustrating to families who have individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. There might need to be some policy changes. There's some different changes at the housing authority. And we've actually, I've had multiple conversations with individuals around that at this point in time. And then Mary and I went and met with the housing authority. We're actually pieces in the process of putting out a survey that will go out to families to see what it is they're actually looking for and what they need and kind of timeline on when they'll be ready, because it really sounded to me like the housing authority was interested in moving forward with how can they help address issues.
They were interested and they asked the same question they often do, like, how many people?
Right.
Then, you know, in any given day, we don't know that well enough. And, you know, so that's a problem for us. That's our problem. But when they did present, most of the things they talked about people with developmental disabilities didn't qualify for.
And so...
So that's what got frustrating to families, because there'd be... They talk about all these things that are funded, and then you had to meet these criteria and developmental... you couldn't get there if you had a developmental disability. So,
how's the traffic then?
It was lovely. It was great. Nice to have you. Missed the movie discussion.
Oh, well, I apologize for my
late.
No. Well, that was frustrating. I think it's exciting that they're interested in us gathering that information and moving forward in what might be available in the future going forward. The other thing I think is it really starts for the families having some really hard discussions, because it's not just can we find affordable housing and a safe place for our individual to live, but are we willing and able for our individual to go move there and live there right now? And what does that look like on all ends? And so one of the best, the evaluations came out really strong. We had a parent panel that had lots of parents up there, and it was really, that was very well received from the audience. And all the parents had different experiences and had done different things. And while there was, sometimes there was a couple comments that they thought the parents all were very well off and had accomplished these things, that absolutely wasn't true. It was people struggling to try to figure out different options. And so I just think that, again, reality is not always pleasant, but you have to kind of know where we're at today to know how do we build tomorrow. And I thought it did a good job of that, and I was very pleased. There was a lot of requests for a second conference. So we're going to see how the meetings go for the rest of the year.
Any questions or suggestions for Darla regarding maybe a future conference or areas that maybe we should look at?
Not going backwards, but if some of the older, quote unquote, parents might share some of the stories of how they did or didn't get, because it might help parents to see how far we've come to where we are now. I mean, I remember being on Homes for Community Living, and you know, everybody was on in one big facility, basically, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, they're now all out in other places. You know, not go back too far, but I mean.
No, that's an excellent idea. Even doing like short videos of like Ted and Jacqueline and what they've done with Young Teens yeah. Home, and being able to put those on our website so that there's a section on the website around housing that families can go just watch these videos mm-hmm. and other parents talking about it. Kind of like parents talking about house, about yeah, residential.
I think from parent to parent is really good. You know, I was really scared, but now we've done this. And they may not be able to take it all, but there could be some pieces that can take and move on to others.
Absolutely. I know Jim and Judy, Judy Merrick and Kay Parks did a video when they first did Teammates, actually, right. multiple. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that video many times because I used to show it to families all the time, and it just embeds in your mind as options and things you can do, and you know,
and to visually see someone in that setting,
yeah,
kind of
very powerful. Thank you.
One Cody could probably take his own video now.
I know.
Anyone else? I'm assuming that a mentorship program exists with it, so you can take a successful care provider or parent and pair them up with a newly mm-hmm. formed family, and they would mentor that person or that family, and not only encouraging them, but maybe saying, hey, we tried that and it didn't work for us, and not that it can't work for you, but and just do the typical mentoring.
No, it does not exist. While we have parent-to-parent and we have peer mentoring, mm-hmm. it's typically around diagnosis or school issues or those kinds of things, mm-hmm. but really kind of rolling that to that next generation up of the post-school transition age mm-hmm. of whether it's residential or employment or socialization mm-hmm. or dating, any of those things would mm-hmm. be really interesting to do.
Yeah, I think that, for me at least, I've had a few mentors in my life, and it was very helpful.
And I have two, and I would not be anywhere without my mentors, so that's an excellent idea. Thank you.
Well, can we have you switch gears to the Center of Excellence Smart Teams?
Yes. Have we presented since the COE training?
I do not believe so.
Okay. So I don't think we did.
No, I don't think we did.
On April 26th, it was the 26th and 27th, the Healthcare Authority and Clark County Developmental Disabilities and Seattle Children's and the University of Washington and PEACE all came together and helped put on a Center of Excellence training for doctors. To become centers of excellence in diagnosing autism. In our state, you have to have a COE certification to be able to diagnose and refer to ABA therapy and have Medicaid pay for it. And we in Clark County didn't have any COD people. So we had huge backlogs of individuals who were getting shipped up to Tacoma or to Children's and had, you know, sometimes 9 months to a year and a half wait for a diagnosis before they could start receiving therapy on their children, which is a problem on lots of issues. So we had almost 80 individuals that were went through the training, the two-day training. It was excellent. Second day, the University of Washington did a phenomenal job training parents and doing a training for them. We've had three or four physicians. The 80 were from all over the state. And I think we've had...
We had 41 docs, and from that, CMAR stood up, Vancouver Clinic. Doctor. Kaiser is already able to do it because they have a workaround for the rules. They go to Oregon, get a specialist,
oh,
and then get signed
in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have a developmental pediatrician, you can do it
right
around.
Legacy Hospital developmental pediatrician was right there. Peace Health, we're not clear whether there any of their Vancouver people came, that they have a lot of Peace Health people.
Dr. White from Catholic Community Services was there, and so that's wonderful because Catholics is working with a lot of our children on the autism spectrum.
So it we had a net gain of maybe four that we know about, maybe more.
The second part of that then is SMART teams. And so, well, there's two second parts. While Dr. Stobie, Gary Stobie, and James
Mancini
from Seattle Children's facilitated the initial training, they're actually going to be doing follow-along trainings with the docs and have like cohorts where they can check in and do stuff. So that'll be excellent. We're then creating SMART teams, which is school medical autism-related resource teams. And so that is, we're just in the process of trying to develop what this will look like. But this isn't a school or a medical physician or somebody has a kiddo and they think, wow, this individual may be on the autism spectrum, we're not sure where to go, how to do this. There'll actually be teams of individuals that can come together and actually do, I can't think of what it's called, where you like case consultation around an individual so that we get big groups from all different aspects to come together and look at the individual and figure out the best ways to move forward to get the child the assistance that they need. And so we're really excited about that. We're still in the first baby steps of the SMART teams. We're having monthly meetings that are going on, but we're just still trying to figure out how we put the scaffolding around that.
And the schools are kind of hard to reach this time of year, so just mm-hmm. we will keep working on the it was the first time in how many years, in over 30 years, that the University of Washington has come south of Long
Beach. Yeah. And wow. This follows up on the training that the healthcare authority, or the meeting that the healthcare authority had in December, where they invited all the managed care organizations together, and we all met and discussed the issue that there's just not the resources and the supports we need for the individuals on the autism spectrum. And so, and the over-medication issues and stuff. So it's while it's baby steps, if you look back a year, I think we've made some good progress.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to see where we are a year from now. We still have a long ways to go.
Keeping people out of jail and hospitals, which are much more costly places, is also one of the goals because it just creates trauma.
There is, in Washington State, on any given day, about 26 people who experience developmental disabilities who are living in the hospitals for non-medical purposes, meaning that they're there because there's not a residential option available for them. And so that part of that might be because of behavioral issues. Part of that is just the incredible crisis in our housing and our residential supports. And so we're trying to come at this from lots of different angles on how do we address these issues, because as Mary said, it just creates ongoing trauma and PTSD if we have a 15-year-old living in the hospital for 18 months in an ER ward. So,
which we did, and we become famous. That's why they came down here.
Which we absolutely, you know, need to be able to set better precedents for that.
Yeah. It's nice to see HCA being proactive.
Yeah. I think it's because Gail is retiring. She wants to, she's really all in.
Well, she's ready to do some things.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Cut through red tape in your career.
But the other thing that Darla worked on that relates to this is throughout the country there's something called ECHO. ECHO started, it started with Parkinson's, and where you could kind of, in rural areas, get case consultation if you had a patient with Parkinson's. Well, then it spread into autism. And so the legislature funded ECHO in Washington this session so that it can also help reduce, it'll pay for itself if they keep those kids out of hospital.
Right. And, you know, of course, we're talking not just adults and not just children. It's children and adults. And for our crisis kiddos, we've only got 3 beds in the state of Washington. And I've seen individuals be asked to leave those beds or be removed from those beds because the individual was too difficult. And so, and our RHCs are downsizing, which is wonderful, and we want that. But as our RHCs downsize, we have got to build up the crisis stability within the community, or we're going to have individuals living in the hospitals. And so it's like, as a state, we've been working on one end, but not necessarily building up the infrastructure in the community, and that's where we really have to. So it was wonderful that the legislature funded the ECHO program.
Yeah.
Which goes hand in hand with this, these enhanced COE trainings.
I think all those pieces will help, because we're down to 1 in 59 kids now with autism, and the CDC is expecting it to reduce further.
And it's hard because, and this is anecdotal, but from my seat with the families that we're working with, we're not seeing a huge increase in classic autism. We're seeing a huge increase in the kiddos that are verbal, but the anxiety and the behavior and the other issues are really high. And so as schools and medical and everyone else, it's how we look at those individuals and how we serve those individuals is really different. And again, that's anecdotal information just from the seat I sit in. But that's kind of a switch too. I mean, while the increase in autism is definitely real, how it's manifesting itself in that increase is different too.
And some of that was also people of color have a better access now than they did 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, there's been a concerted effort to not misdiagnose children, especially in inner cities. Anyway, that's what that's about. You're all welcome to come along for the ride.
Any other opinions or thoughts?
Okay.
You guys are pretty quiet tonight.
They talked about the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're going through that whole thing in their heads. State monitoring, Trish.
Yes, so the state of Washington, Developmental Disabilities Administration, Megan Burr and David Money from the region came to do our once per biennial monitoring of the county. So this is the same thing that we do to the agencies once per biennium. It was also done to us by the state. And for the third year running, we got the unofficial gold star. This year it was a gold star squared for our excellence in managing developmental disability services in Clark County. They came on May 30th. We haven't seen the report yet. There may be one or two things that we need to make sure that we have in place, but overall, they were pretty minor in nature, and excellent. We're doing pretty good.
Now, is there, congratulations. Is there any way that you share that information with especially the parents So there's a sense of confidence that where they're living and the county they're in is very proactive and is working on behalf of them.
That's a great idea.
We could probably do have FYI do something that then could Darla could take for the PIO office could do a public information. I don't know.
Put it on the website.
We can put it on the website.
That would be excellent because if you only know what you know, you don't realize how great what you have is.
Right. No, that's again that, okay. That's very true. I mean, you know, if
and sometimes part of the state forgets that we're part of Washington.
Which I'm certain as well.
Yeah. It is kind of helpful sometimes, unless you want the UW.
So I guess maybe some kind of way of promoting it. Traditional media, you know, newspapers, TVs, you know, that kind of stuff. And then that what we're doing more and more at C-TRAN is a lot of the social media outreach and announcements and stuff like that. And we control the message, and we also are starting to build a brand in our, you know, what people look for. You know, what I'm thinking of right now, there's so many different groups, you know, that people can join that creates an electronic community. And if there's something in there that says, hey, a third party evaluated this program and they found it to be, you know, star squared, which doesn't even because either
a
square
a very
or as a star.
Informal assessment, by the way. That's nothing official.
But
we do have it framed in our cube, though.
Yeah, there's no graphs to go get.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel better. It's like those Yelp.
Yelp reviews?
You know, some of these places I would never try because I don't know them, but after Yelp, I really chastise myself for even doing it. But it really helps. The confidence building in the system that they have available.
Well, and I think it's important that people understand, again, it's that whole you have to know where you were, know where you are, and know where you're going.
Meredy, would you just briefly talk about the requests for information in open houses?
Are you skipping me?
What?
Are you skipping my next item?
I know.
I already checked it off. Oh. You're free to go.
Okay, can I do that one? Okay. So in early May, I went to go have a conversation with Washington Vocational Services, at which meeting they informed me that they would no longer be providing services in Clark County, and we negotiated an end date of July 31st, 2019, to give us a couple of months to really help transition the customers that they do have. I think that I've mentioned before that they were serving 22 people in community inclusion services and employment services. The Washington Vocational Services is actually a board decision and kind of a financial decision for their organization to cease operations here in Clark County. They are doing that. They've been wonderful about helping to transition their customers. We have been coordinating with Washington Vocational Services, the Developmental Disabilities Administration, and our local case managers here at the local office to help manage this transition of customers. Letters went out to the individuals and their guardians, as well as case managers that included the information about when the services were going to end with Washington Vocational Services. We also included a flyer for two open houses. We've had the first one. It was on June 27th in the afternoon, 2:30 to 4:30 at the Developmental Disabilities Administration office. We had a handful of people come to that. We are having another open house tomorrow, July 11th, at the Vancouver Library from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. we wanted to kind of vary the times a little bit to see if maybe some people could come in the evening or some people could come in the afternoon. And so we're hoping to get more people there to do some meeting and greeting with the employment agencies. The other thing that I wanted to say is that the employment agencies really like showed up and brought their spit shine to the last event that we had, really professional presentation of their table and their materials. I was really impressed with the level of expertise that was shown through just what they had. We even had one of our agencies had their mission and vision on one side was in English and the other side was in Espanol for Spanish speaking, and they had a Spanish speaking staff available at the event. So I think that we're starting to see just some different approaches to outreach to a more diverse community that we are celebrating here in Clark County. So what else about that? I've been having a phone conference call with Washington Vocational Services every week since they told me about the change, and we're kind of troubleshooting any issues that might come up and learning about staff that are interviewing with other agencies. And as the customers move on, two or three people have already changed effective in July, July 1st. So they've moved on to new agencies. There's a handful of others that have already changed. The remainders are choosing or maybe going to this open house tomorrow, but they will all be ending services with Washington Vocational Services effective July 31st.
Did they have an employer at all?
Yeah, they did have a couple of people that were employed. I think those two people have actually chosen new providers already. So that transition is already happening. So, yeah.
Are there any exit interviews that are being conducted by staff to find out from either the individual consumer or from an advocate or both that can give you some feedback of what has worked and what maybe hasn't worked at that agency?
We have not been doing any exit interviews. I don't know if Washington Vocational Services is doing that with their customers or not. They did send out, they did their own letter as well that we collaborated with them on to provide the information. They also did outreach. They called each of their customers and each of the guardians to make sure that they were aware of this change that was coming up. So there's been kind of, I think, a lot of human touches with this. One of the things that we were concerned about is were any of the customers that potentially had been served by agencies that had previously closed. There were a few. I recommended that Washington Vocational Services offer to have those people contact me or encourage them to contact me directly. I haven't heard from anybody. I think that it's been a pretty well-coordinated exit on their part. So I think it's kind of, things are moving along, I think, fairly smoothly. And of course, the case managers and Chris Crone at DDA has been really helpful as well. So, I think that's it for me.
It's my turn. Ted Walsh, Susan Cassidy, myself, did a review and request for information, right?
Patrick, Leanne, Meredy, and Ted.
Yeah.
We're on the committee, yeah.
And was this Susan? No, she came for the next meeting.
She came for the next one right after that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She was there.
We did a request for information and chose a new vendor that will be providing services. And let me say who that
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Service Alternatives was chosen. So I imagine that they will be starting soon if they haven't already.
Yeah, we're working on the contract right now. And I was supposed to give an update about contracts, so I'll kind of include this in this little bit as well. So Service Alternatives, we notified them. I think I called them right after the committee meeting on June 26th to see if they could make it to the open house the next day. Unfortunately, we weren't able to. I don't really fault them for that, but they are able to make it. They're going to be at the one tomorrow, so they will have a table and their materials out. They've been added to the qualified provider list. We're working on their contract right now to get them going. You know, I don't know if you recall the electronic signature that we're using now has really sped up our contracting process. So all of our contracts for this next fiscal year, so fiscal year 20 started July 1st, we're a little bit behind because we don't yet have a fully signed contract from the state of Washington yet. We've done all of our signature part and have sent it back. We have all of our contracts have been developed with the exception of service alternatives, which we're working on now, and make ends meet. All of those contracts were launched in the electronic signature system Saturday. They have all come back and are just waiting until we have our final signed state contract before we send them forward for the final signature of the county manager. So we're kind of like just in a holding moment. We're hoping to get the contract back from the state any day. It sounds like it was moved forward to whoever needs to sign it at the state. So I mentioned service alternatives. We're working on that contract now. And then we have a contract with Make Ends Meet. I think I've mentioned before that Brenda Bertram has also made the decision to move into another field of business. She's going to be doing more representative payee work. And our benefits analysis work that we would give her was always kind of a part-time thing for her, and she just has decided to move her focus elsewhere. We sent word out that if anybody needed benefits planning to let us know, and boy, did our agencies respond that there were people that needed benefits planning. So she agreed to extend her contract for 2 months. So she's going to be done at the end of August. She originally was going to be done at the end of June. So we're very grateful that she's going to extend her contract as well, just to finish out those people that she had been working with previously. So I think that's contracts. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
Okay.
The October
meeting. Did you remember that meeting? It was
out. Say again?
Do you remember that meeting?
I was there for some of the discussion, and I think that one of the things that I remember most is the fact that we want to be very proactive, we want to get ahead of the game, and that means soliciting suggestions, or nominations, I should say, for the different awards, and we'll be sending out the different categories soon, and asking that the nominees, whoever they may be, is that they type up or use a computer rather than using handwritten ways to fill it out because of how difficult it can be to read handwritten communication. And so that was another thing. What else happened?
Well, the day is solid. It's the 2nd of October. We had to commit to the Heathman for a couple of years in order to get the date we wanted. So that doesn't conflict then with the CTRAN board meeting, which, you know, we had some problems with that in the past. So the date is the 2nd. The award committee, you all kind of solidified some award categories, and things we will get things out to agencies. Probably won't be till around the 1st of August, because your next meeting is the 1st of August at, I think it's 2 to 3, which I hope Susan can make. I don't know.
Yeah, I think probably by then.
I don't know if Ted will be back then, but he's good.
We can Skype him.
Good. Wouldn't it be nighttime though in Belgium?
Who cares? I mean, we're in America, for crying out loud. Jeez. He wants us to watch a horror film with subtitles. Jeez, he wears Birkenstocks. I mean, come on.
Okay, well, anyway, we're getting down the road. We talked about, unless somebody here has a marvelous speaker that they just can't be without, we talked about not having a speaker this time, either letting the people at the podium have a little more time or increase the video time, plus have the people at the podium. Now, since that time, and our mayor has said that she will be on an anniversary out of the country trip on October 2nd. So I asked her to please think of somebody to stand in for the city.
Great.
But
one of the things that Mary and I talked about before our discussion about the movies or the video is the videographer, Steve, could create a almost a documentary of sorts of all of the video that he and Mary has taken over the years of the last 10 years of the event, and create maybe like a 5 or 6 minute video presentation that gives some historical perspective and also can be inspiring. So that's another option. We're not completely locked down on the agenda completely. But I think the key thing more than anything else is just the nominations from the vendors, the community as a whole,
that's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you know of a business that maybe none of the employment agencies have worked with, but you've noticed that the way that they work with people with disabilities is kind of inspiring. You know, there's nothing that says that anybody can't nominate somebody as long as it's typed. If it's handwritten, it's going out. So that, any questions about the October meeting so far? Any corrections of what I said? Because I'm getting weird looks from your staff. Like, he didn't say anything. Any new business? Any new business? It's a low energy meeting.
I think it's July.
It's July.
Or maybe it's October.
It's cold outside. Well, thank you. And then you don't. And I think you might want to rethink having July meetings. But thank you, those of you who can make it.
Sorry, I was holding.
Yeah. Did you make it?
Oh, yeah. And
when was this for entry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you want
movie ideas?
Here. You don't have any? You want to take it home? Give it to John. He can.
That's true.
He will. Yes, well, he can email Trudy.
Are there any topics that our audience can think of, or staff can think of, or fellow board people, that we should maybe bring to the next meeting, which would be September? Is there something that we should focus on?
I'm curious, and this could be my own lack of knowledge and information, but we have the WIOA stuff, and I'm curious, like, and I don't even know how to say this, like, where the rubber's hitting the road, what's actually happening? And so is that something that families request? Is that something that the schools refer to? How do families access services, transition services through VR with the WIOA stuff? And then also maybe an update on Board of Selection, if we're still going to be there for a while, just because we get a lot of calls of individuals on a spectrum of abilities.
Okay.
Well, and I don't know if everybody knows that there's a new DVR supervisor there. No. Michelle Mulhern is the new supervisor, right? Right. And so maybe we could invite her in September to come and maybe give an update about that.
Rob Hines and I have agreed to meet a few times, and he didn't say it had to be on Olympia.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe
see
we
if you can come.
Both. Yeah.
Well, and Bianca, is Bianca a new, she's the new regional interim area manager.
For area three.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to, and I know you probably wanted the details from Michelle, but I can mention a little bit about the pre-employment transition services. So we will be, in terms of group services, we will provide in a school setting, but for individual that wants, you know, pre-employment and transition services, they will have to contact us and to schedule an intake appointment with a counselor. In terms of order of selection, we're still in order of selection. I thought it was a chance that the PBR is going to be able to release some people this summer, but I don't have the detail yet. I think the financial situation has improved because DVR was able to get some reimbursement from Social Security Administration for paying out some employment services to people who are getting SSI or SSDI. So because of that, the financial situation had improved, and they were talking about release people. But then after that, I haven't heard anything. So I don't know if that answered your question a little bit. But yeah, invite Michelle, and Michelle can give you more. Michelle used to be the policy. Well, she started out at the Vancouver office, but then she went to Olympia, our headquarters, to be the policy manager. And then she's back down here because various reasons. So she's back down here. And Bianca moved on to be the interim area three manager. So she moved to the Lacey area.
Where did Paul go?
Who? Paul. Paul became the interim chief of field services at the headquarters.
Esther's
retired for probably 2 years now, or around, year and a half, 2 years.
But is it that position?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I noticed that she had a pretty low profile in the last couple of years.
I think she probably a year and a half or a little over a year that she retired. Yeah.
Well, is there any objections to adjourning? Okay, consider it.